Should we talk about this timeline we have laid out for Village at the Harbor as well? Yeah, okay. So again, sort of the same thing. And I'll let Nathan take this one.
Sure. So we would like to give the public and our personnel an idea of where we're headed, much as we did with the with EMS, doing some planning here about where we want to go. So I'll put this up on the screen. We have enough people present that are joined through Teams that can benefit from seeing this as well. So let's see. All right. This is a lot. And I've been meeting with Evan, with Steve, with our new part-time hire, Barbara Pilkington, working on an implementation plan. This is really the tip of the iceberg. There is a lot that goes into this, everything from public records training and getting people on official email accounts, to working out insurance issues, to working out how we're going to handle PR. And there's a lot of discussions to be had. PR is a great example. We're going to run with three logos, three websites, three Facebook handles. If we do, how are we going to do that? How are we going to, what things are we going to centralize and what things are we not going to centralize? What decision points get delegated and what things don't? So there's a lot of work to be done. Working on a contract for Evan as the administrator of the Village at the Harbor, who's agreed to work full time on our behalf. He will do a great job. Evan and I have a great relationship. Evan and I can get more done in 10-minute phone calls than I can in hours in other settings. We just really get tons done. We're both super practical people that can blow through things. Just really like working with him and excited to see what we're able to accomplish together. So fall 2021. Leading into where we're at now, we did our 6-year budget planning. We came to an agreement with the village. We got our levy passed. There's a lot of good planning that came out of that that's really useful. Next step up is our actual budget for 2022. And there's some differences between budget planning and an actual budget. In our budget planning, we assumed we'd be having the village for all of 2022. We know that's not true, but it helps because you can show a picture of what an annualized cost of things would be. And we were upfront about that. We wanted people to understand what are the annualized costs that we're taking on. Our actual budget understands that we are only running the village for 10 months of the year, which affects both revenues and expenditures. So that final budget for 2022 that we held our budget hearing for tonight, and which the board will vote on shortly, is sort of more accurate and more specific. Frankly, a little harder to follow. I mean, it doesn't tell you quite as much if you don't know about budgets, but it's more accurate and more consistent with what you're doing. This implementation plan is really important that we're doing right now. Meeting regularly with the implementation team, working out what needs to be done, making sure that we get where we need to be. Just the administrative work of taking on the village is substantial and will take the first 6 months of 2022. It will also take the next 3 months. It's a lot of work. Fortunately, we've hired some help. Barbara Pilkington, as I mentioned, part-time. Evan's been great. Steve's been amazing. But he's got way too much to do. We definitely need help on that side. Also, our request for proposal going out to banks to raise funding for our acquisition. That just went out. Got a bunch of responses from bankers. We got one meeting tomorrow. A couple others have already reached out to me. People are interested. Competitive bidding process will get us a better rate. And we've got to start working through the myriad of integration issues, like the PR issue, like branding, like how we're going to handle warrants and payroll. We're likely, for instance, to run two separate payrolls, EMS and the hospital district, so that we're using money from two different levies, so that we're keeping them separate. As we saw in the EMS ballot resolution, EMS money needs to be spent on EMS. To some degree, the hospital district levy does subsidize EMS. For instance, all of your wages come out of the PhD budget, even though you're both EMS and PhD commissioners. So there are some things like that. Also got to work out HR issues. We're going to be over 50 employees. Certain regulations kick in for that, certain laws. Barbara Pilkington has HR background with bigger systems, and we're hoping that she can give us some good advice on that. As we move into winter, transfer of ownership day, February 28th, 2022. The next day, we hope the benefits will kick in for all full-time employees at the village, meaning 32 hours or more. Over the winter, we will sign a contract with Evan. It's actually one of the terms of the sales that he stays, and there are specific requirements for an administrative long-term care facility. And so we're very grateful to have Evan. Securing that bond, working out office state needs, doing our due diligence on the village purchase. We've got to check all their assets, make sure they reported things accurately. And we've got to do some policies and procedures work. We need to do that on the EMS side for a while. We've updated tons of policies and procedures, but we need to do, you know, more work to systematize and make those better. Some of them still have medevac on it. They've just not really been touched. And, you know, I've updated them, but mostly the key ones like employee policies and things. And so we've got to work these out because our policies and procedures will be binding for the whole district. So taking the village policies, the hospital district policies, the EMS policies, coming up with some that are specific to departments and some that are for the whole agency will be one of the things we work on. As we move into, once we've acquired the village, as we move into March, as we move towards spring, we're working on capital improvements. I'd really like to show some immediate improvements for village residents so people can, and for really personnel there, you know, and doing the, resolving some deferred maintenance issues, replacing furniture, replacing carpet, doing some upgrades in the kitchen. Things of that nature go a long ways towards helping people have confidence that what we're doing is good for them. It also just needs done, and it's a good time to do it because we don't have that second bond yet that we have to service. So we've got more operating revenue that we can put into those kinds of things. We'll also increase wages modestly. I don't want anybody losing income as a result of the benefits we give them and retirement. And so that will at least mean a modest increase in their wages. And it remains to be seen how generous we can be, but we need to be looking towards the long term. 6 years out, can we continue to afford what we're doing? So we need to be serious about being fiscally minded, but we also want to stabilize the system and start making it a place where people want to be employees there, where people want the jobs there and don't want to go anywhere else. Summer, after the first 6 months of the year are over, summer is a good time. Summer 2022 is a good time to start building home care. It's also a good time to work on assessments and planning for capital expansion for the village. We weren't running our home care program with community paramedicine as critical. Both are important. I plan to continue both. Community paramedicine already has funding for it. It provides backfill on 911. It's a well-known program. We will run both programs, but they need to work together and we can get a lot of synergies there. And we can expand our support of Mount Baker Planned Parenthood and potentially LGBTQ healthcare sometime over the summer. By 2023, we hope to actually be working on expansion. I know it sounds like a long ways away, but expanding a long-term care facility is no small thing. And there's all kinds of things you need to do to show how you're going to mitigate impacts on residents and those kinds of things. And working with government entities about that will take a while. I'm told that it's doable. We can do this. It will take time. So in the meanwhile, at some point in 2022, we will start adding Medicaid beds. Once we negotiate a Medicaid rate, we will start adding people. We also need to figure out how we're going to handle Medicaid admissions. I think we need to establish a little committee, likely two commissioners, myself and the village administrator. We need to have some rules about how we handle admissions. It needs to be and it needs to be pretty serious minded because we're going to have much more need than we can meet. So that is our plan. Happy to take comments, questions, and if you've had a look at it, I can stop sharing. If you want to keep looking at it, we can leave it up.
You can take it down.
Okay. It's an ambitious plan. We've got lots to do. It's pretty consistent with what we told the public we'd do, and I'm excited about it.
Me too. Any comments? Question. Oh, go ahead, Trish.
No, I was just going to say, I'm excited too. I think, you know, I feel like I know this pretty well because of having worked on the campaign to see this levy passed and to be able to accomplish this wonderful new venture and to be able to address what is a crisis in our community. And I mean, it's every week there are crisis calls and one only has to talk to Deanna Osborne to hear. And there's tremendous moral distress related to that. So to be able to have the ability to impact our elders in this community is just really special. So, yeah.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks ambitious, exciting, and, you know, willing to help out with that as best I can. Too.
Careful what you say, Commissioner Lachine.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see if I stop answering the phone or what happens.
I think there's we're taking on some of the hardest problems that our community has, and it's not going to be easy, but someone's got to do it. And doing that in a way that generates trust, where people believe that you're making decisions in an honest and fair manner is going to be really key, particularly with those Medicaid beds. There's no way that we are going to be able to satisfy even half the need or a quarter of the need, and many of these cases will be pretty desperate. So we just have to keep in mind that this is why we're doing this in the first place. At least we are able to do something. At least we are moving towards being able to do more. We just focus on that.
Yeah, it's going to take time to build, but we have a roadmap. So,
so can the public ask questions now about what you just presented, or do we have to wait to the end?
So audience participation is at the end after we've gotten through all of our agenda items, and we will have time at the end, 15 minutes after staff reports, if that's okay. Thank you. So is there any further discussion on this roadmap?
And we I don't think I need the board to vote on this or anything, but if you're comfortable, use it in press materials and stuff. If you're not, then I want to hear about it. I want to do better. So
I think it's so important that we keep people informed about what we're doing. And so I really like that we have a plan laid out and things that we can just show we're marking off and yes. Using. So.
I do too, because I think really the public is not aware of all of the work that has to happen. And it's really behind the scenes. It's not in hiding. It's just work that isn't obvious, but that has to be accomplished. So for them to be able to have this roadmap, I think is an enormous help. Mm-hmm. Because there is a lot of desperation out there. And I think people are like, what are you doing now? So,
yeah, it's hard. We don't take ownership until March. So it's, yeah, we can't really do anything until then. So, okay, if we are finished with this, we could move on to new business, which is Resolution 21-557, the Sound County Public Hospital District Number 1 2022 budget. So this does include Village at the Harbor. This is both, setting the budget and all your spreadsheets.
It's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Commissioners, I'm happy to take any questions about these. They're pretty consistent with what we've discussed in the fall. They're just a little more specific and more exacting. I don't personally feel any need to belabor any of these. If you want to blow through them, I'm fine with that. If you want to make changes and talk about them, I'm fine with that too.
I've had a chance to review the budgets, and we've had a chance before to review them too. And now we know the direction that we're taking. for next year, really with both. So I'm ready to move things forward. I will move to adopt resolution number 21-557, a resolution of San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1, setting the 2022 budget.
I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? I will only say we've spent a lot of time with this, and thank you, Nathan, for your hard work on this.
Yeah.
And balancing it. So if there isn't any discussion or commentary, I will call for a vote. We will vote to approve resolution 21-557. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Got hands. Thank you. Passes unanimously. Thank you all very much. Thank you for your work on this, Nathan.
Commissioners.
Yeah, no, really. I know I mentioned this before as I've looked at these budgets, but having your notes next to so many different blocks with dollar mm-hmm. figures in them is really, really helpful to understand kind of what's going on. And it's even more critical as we start to look at some very new expenses and some new revenues as well and try to understand exactly what's going on. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate that feedback. I like using little notes. That way you don't, when you put them on the rows to the right in actual cells and you can't print them very well and you can't put a lot of content, you can't explain a lot. So I'm glad you guys have found that useful to you and that you're able to use them. It's really a great way to include a ton of information without cluttering the spreadsheet. So thank you.
Let's see. The next resolution is our tax levy resolution 21-557. This is from our tax levy. The resolution is from our tax levy is all that is needed. We did pass this in early August and it was approved by the public. We do not need to do it again. It's just included here for symmetry with the EMS budget, everybody.
Weird on the budget, on the agenda, if it wasn't on there. We already passed this resolution and the public voted for it. And that's the main purpose of this resolution is just to be transparent with the public about what we're doing. And we've already done that. So the assessor tells us we don't need another resolution.
Okay. I think it's been signed and everything. So we'll move on to resolution 21-558. Which is the resolution of the San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1, setting the 2022 budget for San Juan Island Emergency Medical Services.
Did you want to pass that tax levy certification?
Yeah. Oh, do we need to? I'm sorry. Yes.
I don't know whether we need to or not, to be honest. How's that for an answer? Safe.
Well, we already did it.
It is odd that we have a tax levy certification. I guess you're right. We did pass it. Do we have to pass the certification for each of those? They're not resolutions.
They're not approve resolutions.
Move to approve the 2022 San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1 tax levy certification.
Seconded. Discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes. Okay, now it's official, Nathan. Okay, so moving on to the EMS budget. This is our resolution 21-558 to approve our 2022 EMS budget. I would entertain a motion.
I move to adopt resolution 21-558, a resolution of San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1, setting the 2022 budget for San Juan Island Emergency Medical Services.
I'll second.
Thank you. Do we have any discussion? I know we're tired of budgets. It's been a long budgeting season, but these are well done. And if there's no further discussion, I could call for a vote. All in favor of resolution 21-558? Looks like
aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you very much, everyone. Yet another here, resolution 21, is this the right number? Is it 560 or 559?
559.
559, okay. 559, and this is the San Juan Island EMS tax levy resolution. This is just a required resolution by the Department of Revenue claiming the 1% increase allowable under law, resulting from increased assessed values. Assessed values have, of course, increased much more than 1% given these last few months, and the levy rate is actually going down, even though we're accepting the 1% increase. So I will entertain a motion to adopt resolution 21-559, the San Juan Island EMX tax levy resolution.
I move to adopt resolution number 21-559.
I second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Aye.
Thank you. Again, this is the EMS tax levy certification. Do we just need to approve it, Nathan?
Just a simple motion. Yep.
I move to approve the San Juan Island EMS tax levy certification for 2022.
Seconded.
Any discussion? all in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you all. It looks like we're surplusing an ambulance, because we have a brand new fancy one, and it was quite fun to be part of the push-in ceremony the other night with the crew in the rain, and to welcome this new ambulance and its service to our community. But that means we have one too many. It is a 2002 ambulance, and Nathan has been talking with another district that has a need for an ambulance, and I will let him explain that to you.
Yeah, we have a decision to make. I mean, it's not a huge decision by any means. It's a nice way to end the night. So we can sell this under market value a little bit, $5,000 to Skagit 13. It's on the Indian Reservation. They're a BLS-only system. They don't have any medics, no advanced life support. Their fleet is aging enough that they're very excited about a 2002 ambulance. That said, this ambulance has, I think, 80,000 miles on it. It operates fine, and it could last longer. So we could get more money for it. If we send it to auction, it's a bit chancy. We don't really know what we're going to get. It depends on who's looking for ambulances, but I'm sure we can get more. It is within the discretion of this board to set the value of the ambulance and of any asset that we sell. It is within the discretion of the board to even be generous in the sale of an item in order to help another agency. So it's a decision the board needs to make whether you want to go ahead and sell it for $5,000 to Skagit 13, which functionally would be to just adopt this resolution as is, and then it's my discretion who to sell it and how to get rid of it, and I would just sell it to them. Or if you would like to send it to auction. If you send it to auction, we will probably get more money for it. I don't know, I feel conflicted about it, to be honest. I mean, part of the reason why they don't have more money is simply because the reservations are exempt from taxes, and I feel like people should pay taxes if they want services. That said, I know that there's also tremendous need, and I would like to help. So I suppose it just really does come down to what this board would like to do, and this is a nice decision to be able to make because it's not going to cause any waves here. So I'm happy to take your guidance on this and what you think is worthwhile.
Well, I would just like to chime in that number one, I think, you know, we are representing the taxpayers of San Juan Island. And, you know, I think it's very important to be judicious with money. But I also have a personal desire, just as my own values, to help out others. And as a home health nurse with Island Hospital Home Health, I spent many, many years seeing patients on the reservation in the home health setting. I've been in and out of many, many, many homes on that reservation, and there is an enormous need. And to help out our brethren, fellow EMS, to serve a community that's underserved would feel really good. So.
Yeah, I say so to the res as well. But then we could just, I agree.
I love the idea of helping someone. I guess my only concern is that it falls into that category of gifting of public funds. We're not necessarily gifting. We are receiving payment for it. And it's possible that the ambulance wouldn't bring much more at auction. So we know there's a need. It'd be nice to help.
I think that it's comfortably within the discretion of this board to set the value at the rate we're talking about. I don't see any legal risk over it. I'm comfortable with that if that's what the board wants to do. It is a nice thing.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 21560, the surplus of the 2002 ambulance, to Nathan's discretion to sell it.
I do see Weishan wanted to weigh in on this. Should we take a comment?
Sure. Up to you.
Please.
Thanks for that. I just wanted to say that our history, our agency has a long history of, I don't think we've ever sold an ambulance for more than a dollar. So we gifted Shaw or Waldron Island an old ambulance for a dollar, and either two or three ambulances to Shaw. Mm-hmm. So there's a long legacy of helping other agencies that are smaller and have very little funds. And I just wanted to put that out there. Thanks for taking my comment.
Thank you.
Yeah, we sold our last ambulance for, I think, $7,500 on auction. Weishaw is correct. We have done that in the past, selling it for a dollar. I am not comfortable with that. I think it's very close to the public funds. I think it's really questionable. Not that I don't appreciate the intent. I just think that it's risky. It feels not appropriate to me. But I like it. I would love to do that. I would love to just give it to them if it were me personally. I think we're giving them a discount, and it's within our discretion, and I'm comfortable doing that if that's what the board's comfortable doing.
Okay. In that case, I'll second Gail's motion. Is there any discussion on this? Everett, you haven't weighed in.
Yes, I really appreciate what Weishan had to say, and I feel very much like Nathan had to say too, in that I very much would want to help, and I'm glad that we have done that in the past, but at the same time, it feels like we can't just give, it's not ours exactly to just give away. So I feel like maybe taking $5,000 for it is a nice, happy medium. It's allows us to do both, to be somewhat generous and still serve the budget and the voters, the taxpayers. So I think that would be a good compromise.
I too appreciate hearing the history of the legacy of our EMS helping others. And so I feel even more strongly about helping Skagit and helping those on the reservation through this effort, because we're really helping those EMS folks who are going out there to help a community in need. So. Yes, let's do it.
Okay, in that case, I will call for a vote on resolution 21-560, surplus of the 2002 ambulance. All in favor?
Yeah. Aye.
Okay, there we go. Thank you, everyone. And now the moment we've all been waiting for, staff reports. No offense.
I think he's told us almost everything. We've kind of like.
Hey, before we go into that, I just wanted to say I just received a text from a community member just now. I know this is down to the wire, but this person is offering to pay for the first 10 EMT class students to pay their expenses of their books. I know the deadline is it tomorrow? Is it too late to put this out there? But anyway, this person is offering to cover those costs up front if anyone has a need. So essentially a scholarship, which is incredibly kind. Thank you very much.
And I'll also say that today on Facebook with the announcement about the class, someone said, you have to be 21. And I went ahead and looked it up online that it's 18 in the state of Washington. I just want to confirm that's true. But I think adding that in, I mean, you know, we even have some high schoolers who might be interested. And maybe folks don't know that age 18 is, that all you have to be is 18 and have an interest in doing this work. So.
Great skills to have. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very exciting. And thank you.
Thank you for the sign out front. Excuse me for interrupting, but I really appreciate the sign out front. When we were on our trip up in Canada, I saw a giant banner on a side of a EMS building about their classes. And I thought, you know, it's great. We've people driving by and I think it's an important way to get the word out. So thank you, Superintendent Butler, for that beautiful sign out front.
Well, I mean, as is my want, you know, I had someone else do it, but I did in fact instruct someone else to do it. So that was good of me, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. Delegate.
No, I'm kidding.
You can't do it all.
No, thank you. That's super exciting that someone's willing to do a scholarship for people in need. And Weishan's telling me that she'd be happy to keep the deadline open an extra day for people. We'll put something up on Facebook about that.
Oh, thank you so much. And we'll talk about this after the meeting. But thank you so much.
Sounds good.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Take it away, Superintendent Butler.
Okay. Let's see. I don't know. I mean, do you really want to hear a lot from me right now? I don't. Let me just touch on a few things. Well, we're doing stuff and we're doing them well. End report. No, I'm kidding. I think, you know, the big thing about this time of year is we're getting our tax money in. We're able to not feel as stressed. You start to feel a little stressed in September, you know, because your big tax money bumps are, you know, October and April. We'll get more in November. We also start to get more ambulance fees this time of year as the summer billing comes in. So it's kind of the nature of many businesses, but also public service, is just that, you know, your revenue and expenditures don't arrive at the same time. And so it's nice this time of year where you start to take just a little bit of sigh of relief. I was working on some budget stuff today just because I was trying to figure out if we could afford to buy a new Stryker gurney for our new ambulance to go with it. And it looks like we're going to be under budget on expenditures this year. Pretty comfortable we're going to be under. Unfortunately, we might be a touch under on revenues as well. We didn't get quite as much from the GEMT program as we expected. It turns out that, you know, it's so complicated. I mean, it really is. You saw my notes on the budget. And it was about a page long with 15 paragraphs. Well, it turns out that the government, state government, arbitrarily decides what percentage of your interim rate you get. So you ask for $1,000, which is about, I don't know, 30% of what they should be paying out. And they just decide, oh, we're going to give you 40% of that. There's no way to predict that. It's just what they do. So we're just a little bit under. But as Commissioner Clary said earlier, we are getting money in. So We paid our subsidies for the year. We've, you know, we pay Peace Health. We were caught, you know, caught up in most of our big annual expenses. We've talked a lot about what we're up to. You know, we were onboarding a lot of new staff. We had to replace two staff EMTs, and I opted to hire a additional position for staff EMTs so we have some depth and some coverage for PTO time. We've just hired a second community paramedicine EMT for the first time. They're onboarding. We're bringing on a new ambulance. On the hospital district side, we've been doing lots of work on the village. I don't really see any point in telling you all the same stuff over again. I really think that's about it. Our response times were consistent. Call volume is not very high, but you know, it looks like we're actually more than 2020, about 2% up from 2020, which is a pretty low increase, and that's great. We don't want lots. I mean, we're very happy the public is not injured or sick or otherwise in trouble. But it's not quite as large an increase as we were seeing before COVID. So it's all kind of interesting. We've definitely seen an uptick in COVID cases. We've had a lot of circulation of COVID patients, and that's unfortunate. I'm always amazed by our crews. They just go and they just do it. I mean, they run towards danger. They go and they mask up, they put on their PPE, and they go and they take care of these patients. And I don't know, it's just an amazing group. I'm just so impressed and grateful for our people. So that's my report. I don't really have anything else to say, but I'm happy to answer questions, commissioners.
I had a quick follow-up on the GMT, because I noticed that too in the budget, that it was a bit below what we had budgeted to receive, and we had already budgeted a bit lower based on what's been happening the last few years. Do we have some payments that are still coming in the door, or is that number, what I think it was like, we received something like 10,000 and we were budgeting 60. Is that right? Is that where we are, or are we still waiting for a little bit to come in the door too for that sort of thing?
We just started taking GMT money again in August, because they're on a fiscal year, so it ended in July. We just started taking money, and we're not taking a lot of it. We're only taking, as I had mentioned, 30% of what we believe we're entitled to. And the real hit was in them deciding to not give us 100% of what the interim rate that we'd asked for. So I do think that's going to come in significantly under, unfortunately. But we will get the money on the tail end. They're going to mail us a big check, and then we'll get that next spring. And it'll be, we already know what it's going to be. It's going to be something like 70 or 80,000. And so we will get the money we budgeted for, but it's not coming as quickly as we had expected. We had expected to get more of the money along the way rather than in a big settlement at the end. As far as I'm concerned, as long as we're not sending them money and they're sending us money, I'm happy. So, does that answer your question, Commissioner?
It does. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
If there isn't anything further, we can move on to audience participation. And that is star 6 to unmute yourself. And I thank everyone for being patient as we got through all of the business we had tonight.
Can we have Catherine first, since she's been waiting so patiently?
Thank you. Honestly, I don't know how you guys stay up so late. It is way past my bedtime. But I'm committed to the work you're doing. And so I have some questions for you. I'll just give you my four questions and then you can answer them how you choose. So one is, I'm curious to know who is on the implementation team for when you were discussing the long-term care transition, who's on that team? And how do community members offer their suggestions and input about that transition and what that looks like and entail, and also in regard to the in-home care portion? And three, I just want to comment, I think your timeline seems really ambitious, so I want to support you in being successful. And then my last question is, I don't understand the difference between the EMS levied lid lift that we just did versus what you're talking about, the new levy in the spring. And I think that's really important for the spring ballot to make a distinction, because it seems like, well, we just did this, so why are you asking for more money? Those are my four questions. Three questions and one comment.
Okay, I can answer the last one first. The last one was that was a levy put together by the fire department to take over EMS services for the county. That was what was on the ballot this past November.
I think she was talking about the public hospital district.
No, I'm
lift.
Confused. Okay, what is?
Yeah, I think that was for the Village of the Harbor. Okay. We have two levies. One is a public hospital district levy, where historically most of that has funded the hospital here and provided the medical services through that hospital and Planned Parenthood and a couple of other entities. So that's where the bulk of that funding has gone in recent times, I'll say. And that's the one that we just increased because we had some capacity in that levy. So we took advantage of that capacity, and that's now going to be funding the Village at the Harbor operations and other operations associated with that long-term care primarily. So that's where that one was. And then this other one is the EMS levy that funds our emergency medical services operations. And that's a separate levy that just, and it renews every 6 years. It's just for those operations. So when folks show up to provide that, pre-hospital care, that's what that pays for.
Okay.
Sorry to cut you off, Annalisa. I was trying to move it forward.
Keep those separate. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't understand the question. I thought we were talking about the previous one. So this is a EMS renewal, and which is separate from what we just did to fund Village at the Harbor, which was expanding our PhD levy. Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
But great comment, by the way. Absolutely. And I want to make that very clear.
And Catherine, your questions were, who is on the implementation team for the Village of the Harbor? How will the community be involved? And what was the part about in-home care?
Well, and how are you going to be taking in public comment and suggestions as you implement long-term in-home care portion next summer?
Well, I mean, we're still a public hospital district, so we're, you know, this is audience participation, and there's always community outreach. I mean, there's ways you can always reach out to your superintendent, your commissioners. I do think that the implementation team is clearly our superintendent, the staff he's hiring at the PhD to put this together, like Barbara, Steve, who's on our staff, and Evan. And it will grow as we grow, is my feeling. Am I incorrect in that, Nathan?
I agree. Yeah. Okay. This is...
I've had a couple of people approach me and say, we want to help. We want to volunteer our time. Who do we talk to? So I've just been directing them to Nathan and Evan, but I just want to make sure that was appropriate.
That's great. And I think that's absolutely right.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for all
your
work.
What about the in-home care component? I guess I didn't understand that part of your question.
Well, I think the plan is that we're going to have an in-home care agency. And I know there are a number of people out in the community that are very anxious to participate in building that that agency and being actively involved in what that might look like. And so I just wondered if there was going to be any kind of a formal committee to work on that, or if it's just going to be Nathan and Evan, or how you're going to approach that.
There certainly will be some of us involved as well, potentially Trish and I, and then certainly we'll have other community organizations have wanted to support us, right, Nathan? So we still have to deal with that. We have some community partners who are interested in pieces of this project, and so we will certainly be connecting with them as we go forward. Just like you said, people are reaching out to you, they're reaching out to all of us, and I think as we go along, we'll find the appropriate partners and definitely be open to public comment and public input on what we're doing.
Yeah, and the great thing about having a five-person board is we can have all these subcommittees, for instance, like Everett and I are on the financial committee together, and Trish and Gail are already on a long-term care committee the two of them and they report back to us. So I just imagine that long-term care committee that already exists with these two commissioners and their outreach and their expertise will just continue as we develop the village at the harbor.
Okay, great.
Thank you. And we look forward to your continued input.
We do, we're gonna need it.
All right, I'm here to support you.
Yay.
Thank you, Catherine.
I'm trying to go through official channels and not the back door, so that's why I'm here.
And thank you for all your hard work to help us get this levy passed. Thank you so much for that, Catherine.
Yeah.
My only objection is I don't get to see Catherine every 2 weeks now.
Oh, maybe we should. We probably need to
have get her on the committee. Member.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. You could expand your long-term care committee.
I think I'd like to just throw that out as a possibility that we include Catherine Clary with her depth and breadth of experience and interest in this, that perhaps she could be one of our community members and a liaison. Just throwing that out for thought.
That's what you get showing up, huh?
Yes. That's what you get. You are perfectly within your purview to grow that long-term care committee as you see fit.
Thank you.
I was going to volunteer her, but I saw the chasm open up before me.
Do we have any other members of the public that would like to comment or check in with us this evening? I know this has been a long meeting and we always appreciate hearing from people. So thank you so much. If there isn't anything further from the audience, we could just have any commissioner comments at this time. I know we've had a lot of comments. But... And if there isn't anything further, we could call for or move to adjourn. And I see that big smile on Gail's face, so I'm thinking that's the right way to go. We did a lot of work tonight, and we accomplished a lot of things, and I appreciate all your time and attention, and I appreciate all your work to prepare for this meeting tonight. And
we've created a lot more work for ourselves.
I just want to say Deanna's on the call, but she can't unmute herself. So she's also volunteering to help on your long-term care committee. So.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Deanna. And thank you to her for all her hard work getting this levy passed. Yay.
Deanna needs to be acknowledged for It Takes a Village. She was the one who came up with that.
Nice.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you, Deanna. If there's nothing further, I will move to adjourn this meeting. It is 8:26 on November 17th. This is the conclusion of the Salem County Public Hospital District number 1 regular meeting.
Awesome.
Thank you, commissioners.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nice job setting the groundwork.
Thank you. Yes. Beautiful. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Steve, you got the recording?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for everybody to get out.
All right. Thanks, Steve. You have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Mm-hmm.